I'm talking about sons and daughters, okay? Again, now, watch this. It says we are sons of God. How does that make you feel? I mean, do you feel any obligation to live up to the dignity of your position in Christ Jesus?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. We pray that your Monday is going well, and thank you for beginning your week with us. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Galatians with the conclusion to the message, Sons of God. Now, Pastor Bill.
Very, very serious thing. Adoption was serious. You can be born into the family, okay? You were under a tutor until the father said you weren't. But also, in a Roman family, the father could adopt anyone he wanted to outside of his family and declare him to be a son. So, listen, very important now. So when the father determined the son that was in his house, he was a little boy, but whenever he comes out from underneath the stewards and the custodians and the tutors, all the rest of it, he determines when that little boy is now an adult. You know, if you study history, you know what the father would do. The father, there'd be a big party, really. But he would walk over to his son, and the father would remove the toga that the son was wearing and drop it and cast it away. And the dad would then take off his toga, and he would place it upon his son, declaring him now a full adult. You can't touch him. He's no longer under tutors. He's no longer under the legalistic system. He's free. He's no longer going to be treated like a slave. He is my full adult son. And not only that, he is the heir, the full heir to all that I have. Now, in Roman adoption of someone outside of the family, what they would do is that they would bring the son in. And when the father said, okay, son, I've adopted you. You're not mine, but I've adopted you, okay? And when I adopt you, you are now going to be permanently and forever, no one can change it, placed in my family forever and ever and ever. And whatever happened in your past, son, the one I'm adopting, is completely severed. If you had debt, it's severed. Any kind of obligation, it's now gone. You have a complete clean slate in your life now, and you're going to be treated as though those obligations of the past, whatever they might be, never happened. Does that sound familiar? Oh, listen, loved one, the Bible says, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments, or may I just change it for a moment? The toga of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. That robe of righteousness, remember when the prodigal son, he was gone. He was out there living a terrible life and sinning and all the rest of it. He left his dad, and the prodigal father waited on him day and night, waiting for his son to return. One day he looked, and there he was. The old man, the prodigal father, ran out to his son away from all the other servants. You know the story. And here he comes. He rehearsed his speech. Oh, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me a hired servant. And the father, the prodigal father, said, oh, you were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you're alive. Bring the sandals, bring the ring, and bring the best robe. Let me cover my son's shame. Amen. That robe of righteousness, which is Christ's perfect, sinless, spotless record that now belongs to the sons and the daughters of the living God. I say, oh God, you're so good. Now listen, we are adults with God now. We're no longer in Adam. Amen. God got us out of the Adams family. We're into his family, man. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is there. Jesus is preparing a place for us right now. Maybe it's already prepared. In natural adoption, let me show you the difference. Natural adoption, spiritual adoption, or human adoption, okay? If I said, Mario, I love you. I want you to be my son. Come into my family. You're going to call yourself Mario Quinn. Or we could change it to Anthony Quinn. Remember the actor? No, so you young people don't even know who that was, do you? That's okay. We were related. Now, so Mario is now my son. He has my last name. When I die, he has anything that I have, which is absolutely nothing. So he's going to have to pay for my funeral, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying? But if I do have anything, everything I have is now yours, except one thing. One thing. He's not really my son. He is, but he's not. Legally, yes. But he'll never have my nature. Never. Because he did not come for me. Now listen to me. When God adopts you, he calls you fully sons and daughters. Listen to this scripture. 2 Peter 1:3. As God's divine power, that means the whole Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as his divine power has given to us, that's past tense, loved one, a past event, a present reality. His divine power has given unto us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness. The one who has called us has also enabled us. It is a fact. God says, I have given you absolutely everything that you need for a life of godliness and for life, and life as well. That's what God has done. And not only that, listen now, by which we have been given to us, I love this, exceedingly great and precious promises. We have all the promises, loved one, that God has given unto us. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? You know, no one will ever snatch you out of my hands. All these promises of God, loved one, they're ours. They're precious. They're great. They're exceedingly great. Now listen carefully, that through these, meaning these promises, here it comes, that you may be partakers of the divine nature. I look at that and I say, what? Partakers, that means to share in. That means that we have the very divine nature of God living in our spirit. Amen? Do you understand that? I'm going, wow. Oh, God, you're so good. You know, in other words, sons of God, daughters of God. Listen, we share the DNA of God. Are you listening to me? Absolutely. Are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, he's there. He's there right now. Listen, we have the divine power of God, the divine nature of God, and then he's given us divine gifts. 1 Peter 4:7. Each person, every believer, every son and daughter of God, you have a gift, a supernatural gift that God has given you. And he says, use it. That's what we're to be doing. Now, look at this. But you have received the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, that's the Spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Here it is. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with, not to, okay, with our what? With our spirit, that we are children of God. What does that really mean? It means this, when a person is born from above, they know something has happened. They certainly, if they don't know the Bible, they wouldn't know this scripture. But it means that my spirit and the Holy Spirit bears witness one to another that we are the children of God. We know something has happened. Like I told the first service, when I came to Christ on that beach in Florida, and that person said, give me your hand and let's pray. When I opened my eyes after I received Christ, I don't know how to explain it, but I promise you, as God is my witness right now, everything was different. I didn't know why it was different. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God or Jesus. I just know that I prayed, Jesus, please come into my heart. Please be the Lord of my life. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and then he made me alive, and his spirit bear witness with my spirit, and that's why I knew something had happened. Why? I was saved. I couldn't explain it, but something happened, and it has kept happening now for 40-some-odd years, loved one. Oh, listen, and that's what happens when we're believers. And since, watch this, since we are children, then heirs, and here's this word again, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified together. That's a future thing, the glorification. Everything that Christ receives because of divine right, we have received because of divine grace. I say, oh, God, you're so good. Listen to me. This is God's word. God has given to his sons and daughters, the Father has given you so much. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. He's given you so much. there's nothing more to give. Do you understand? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:21? All things are yours. All things are yours. You have inherited the Father's estate. I'm going, oh God, you are so good. Man, the value of any inheritance, loved one, is based upon the worth of the person who has it. Amen? The Lord says in the Word of God, it says in Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, and everything that's in the earth. Listen, He has created it all. The Bible says in Psalm 51, whatever it is in that area, He says, the beasts are mine, the cattle are mine. Haggai 2:8, all the silver, all the gold, everything is mine. What are we worried about? Everything belongs to God. Our inheritance that we have, forget the world. We're not of this world. The inheritance that we have is from the owner, the creator, the sustainer of this entire universe. The one who numbered the stars and gives them a name. The one who knew you before you were ever born. The one who says in Ephesians 1:6 that you're accepted in the beloved, which means the beloved, meaning Jesus, meaning that God loves you the exact same way He loves His Son. I think, oh Lord, you're so good. And not only that, our Father is not only the source of our inheritance, loved one. He Himself is our inheritance. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, my inheritance. I say, oh God, you are so good. Listen to me now. How, I don't understand anymore, but how can any Christian that is a son or a daughter of God, how can we be apathetic about the things of God unless we're not being led by the Spirit of God? How can we refuse to ever forgive those who persecute us and say all manner of evil against us? Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If you look up that word, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, it means start jumping up and dancing and shouting. How can we not love other people? We are the sons and daughters of God, and we are to imitate Him because we can. Amen? You know, how can we not serve the Lord? How can we not give to the Lord, support the kingdom of God? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, it tells us this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has, it's already happened, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenlies. That doesn't mean when we get to heaven, that is right this moment. You can't get any more from God than He's already given you because He's already given you everything. How do you get it then, Bill? You appropriate it by faith. God said it, that settles it. Amen? I believe it. The Bible says, what did John write in 1 John 4:17? He says, as He is. As Jesus is, that's present tense, not past tense. As Jesus is this very moment, seated at the right hand of God. As He is, so are we in this world. Listen, we need to quit thinking with a carnal mind and start thinking with a spiritual mind and be renewed to the things of God on who we really are. We're sons and daughters of God. We need to walk with that kind of dignity. You know, the Bible tells us there's only two kinds of children on this earth. Remember? Well, of course, Adam and those in Adam in Christ. But in 1 John 3:10, what did He say? He says, in this are the children of God and the children of the devil made manifest. He who practices, that means an habitual lifestyle. He who does not practice righteousness or nor love others. Man, you're in trouble because we know that that doesn't come from God. Amen. We love others because the Holy Spirit's in us. We're children of God. We're not children of the devil, loved one. No, not at all. Now, I want you to go back. Let's go back. Turn back to verse 8 in Galatians. Paul says, let's wrap this up now. He says, but then indeed, you did not know God, but you served those which by nature are not God. So Paul's concluding. He says, you know what? Before you were saved by faith, you just a bunch of pagan idolaters and served all these other, you were a slave to idolatry, in other words, false gods. But now, after you are known or have known God, or rather are known by God, since you came, meaning now that you came to the Lord Jesus by faith alone, Paul says, how is it? Now Paul's blown away. How is it that you turn back or turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? In other words, the poverty of the law, where you say, I got to work to please God. I've got to earn my salvation. He goes, well, are you out of your mind? He says, listen, to which you desire again to be in bondage. That word desire is a very important word because it's saying that they are making a choice to do it. They want to do it. Paul says, man, you are sons and daughters of the living God. Why do you want to go back in slavery? Matter of fact, he could even said to the Gentiles, you weren't under the law anyway. Why do you want to get under the law when we couldn't keep it? He says, oh no, listen, why would you turn away from grace and the truth of the gospel to some powerless legalism, works, thinking that you can earn God's favor? And like I just said, he says, you observe days, you observe months, you observe seasons, you observe years. What is he saying? The Sabbath days, the feast, Pentecost, tabernacles, and Passover. So what are you doing? He says, I'm afraid for you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid for you. Why? Well, I've labored in vain for you. In other words, was it for nothing? I brought you to the Lord, and now you turn away from grace. You turn away from faith in Christ into legalism. You go back. You're going to be a slave. And Jesus has set you free. That word observe there literally means rigid observant. In other words, you do those things because you think you gain God's love and God's favor. Now listen, let me close by saying something to you this morning. We're living in a great time of the history of this church. Amen. This outreach is going to be so incredible. Oh, you have to be praying. You have to be working. Oh, God is so good. But listen, to be a Spirit-led son or daughter of God. Do you know what that means? It means that you're changing. You change every day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, here it comes, are being transformed. That word we get metamorphosis, remember? We're being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of our Savior, Jesus, from glory to glory. To glory, to glory. It's a process, loved one. And how does it happen? It says, by the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen to me. If we are Spirit-led, if we are sons of God, daughters of God, we are going then from glory to glory to glory. We're not stuck in glory. We're not stuck 5 years ago. We keep moving on, man. We keep changing. But see, if we're going from glory to glory, that means this. We should, the Church of Jesus Christ, should be more and more like Jesus every day. Amen? Not less and less like Jesus every day. The world should become a dim place. The world should become a place, I don't want anything to do with the world. I just want to save people in this world. Amen? Yes, listen, there's no room, loved one, for apathy. We must live up to our calling because we can. There's no room for an apathetic Christian. We're getting ready to have the largest outreach in the history of this church. 50 days, 50 some odd days. There's going to be at least 1,000 mothers. If they have children, it could be 2,000, 3,000. Do you understand? Not all of them are saved. There's going to be grandparents that are raising their children's children. Some are saved, some are not saved, that are going to be here. When they pass through the tents, that's the last place they're going to go to. That's where the people who want to lead them to the Lord and tell them how much Jesus loves them. That may be the last time they ever hear the good news, some of them. It is appointed unto man once to die. Amen. It could be the last time that child, God forbid, the last time that grandmother, grandfather. Do you understand me? If they hear that, did you know Jesus died for you? He took your sins. He loves you. We don't want anything from you. Do you want to give Jesus to be the Lord? See, we must do this. There's no room for an apathetic Christian. Do you understand? No. Listen, sons of God, let me rephrase that. Are sons of God fishers of men? Okay, then are sons of God ambassadors for Christ? Okay, then love them, we have to do it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus used a word that's only used one time in the New Testament, peacemakers. He is not speaking about world peace. He's not talking about let's have a peace day. He's not talking about politics. You know what Jesus is talking about when he says, oh, blessed are the peacemakers. I could rephrase it. Blessed are my peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. What does that mean? Jesus is saying here, a peacemaker is one who shows someone who is not at peace with God how to have peace with God. That's what we are called to do. That's what sons of God is called to do. Listen, When I was a young pastor, in my first pastorate, I had a person start writing me from Huntsville, and he was in prison. And so what I started doing was sending him like those Billy Grahams, you know, the things how you, and he became a, anyway, he would do all the study, went through, and he would send me, his test back. Now, this went on for about 3 years, maybe longer. And I'm a Christian, and he loved the Lord. So one day, and so I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, and I was feeling real good about myself, you know. And he wrote me a letter, said, I get out in a week. Would you drive to Huntsville and pick me up? Well, I don't know what this guy did, but he's a believer. I write him back. I said, I'll be at the Walls unit at such and such a time. So I pull, drive down there, and he comes out. None of his clothes fit because they just give you clothes, you know, when you get out. His hair was all disheveled, and buttons weren't buttoned, and he got in the car, and all right. He says, are we going to go through Waxahachie? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a Western store. I want you to stop there. I'm going to buy me some brand new Wranglers and a brand new cowboy shirt. I said, okay. So I drive. It goes in there. Are y'all with me? He comes out. You know how new jeans look. And you know what I'm saying. Gets in that car. He says, we're going to Fort Worth, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a car lot. I want you to take me to this car lot. I'm going to buy a car. I said, you got some money to buy a car? Because I was going, I'm buying all this gas. I was a poor pastor. I take him to a car lot on East Lancaster. And so I pull in, and there's the little car lot, the building. And it was a small little, small, but it had huge plate glass window. And I saw the manager or whoever was behind the desk, and that prisoner or ex-prisoner, he goes in there, he sits down. And I was watching it. And all of a sudden, I could see that manager or that person, whatever he was, the salesman, was belittling him. I could see the look on the guy's face. It was hurting me. And so I just said, well, I don't know what's going on. So I had a little bitty Bible, and I opened the Bible, and I read this. It just turned right to this page. Jesus said this. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Him who strikes you on the cheek, you know, give him the other off. If he wants a coat, give him another one. Give to everyone who asks, and from him who takes away your goods, don't ask him back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them. He goes and he says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that from you? For even sinners lend. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend. 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 Hoping nothing in return. And your reward will be great in heaven. And you will be sons of the Most High. I looked back into that window. And I said, okay, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I'm going to act like a son of God. I'm going to do what Jesus would do. I got out of my car. I had no money. We were so broke in our first pastorate, but I had a credit card with nothing on it. I walked into that room, and I heard what that man was saying to his name was Woody. And he just, his head went lower and lower and lower. He said, all I have is $200. You don't even have a job. I said, do not berate that man anymore. How much is that car? Da-da-da-da. I said, put it on me, and you give him the keys, and let him leave right now. That's what sons and daughters of God do. He who hath pity upon the poor, not just I feel sorry for you. He who hath pity, they do something about it, lendeth unto God, and he will pay back what is given. Loved one, get in the whirlwind. We have people that are coming that are hurting. You're going to be able to let them feel your love and see your love and your love demonstrated to them. Amen. That's what it's all about.
Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today. Pastor Bill will continue this study in Galatians on tomorrow's program, so please tune in again, won't you? Have a wonderful day, and goodbye for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us
for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.